Radio Daily for not Monday. None of that BS. September 27, 2016. Tis all the geek without the weight. Good morning, hello, and hello. We're the fine folks from geekradiodaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and those kinds of places. The interwebs and whatnot. The folks bringing it to you today, that there's saucy.
Ignorance is bliss, my friend. Don't burden yourself with the secrets of scary people.
That's, wow, okay. It's a little more deep than I thought you were going to go. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Are you incapable of letting go of your ego for one goddamn second?
It's been questioned of me before. I'll have to get a crack team of scientists working on it. What happened, yo?
1822, Jean-Francois Champollion announces that he has deciphered the Rosetta Stone.
1825, the first locomotive to haul a passenger train is operated by George Stephenson's Stockton and Darlington line in England.
1905, the journal Annalen der Psyche publishes the physics paper, Does the Inertia of a Body Depend Upon Its Energy Content? By Albert Einstein.
That's where we got E equals MC squared from. 1922, the principle behind military radar is first demonstrated by two researchers at the U.S. Naval Aircraft Radio Laboratory conducting high-frequency tests near D.C.
1938, the BBC starts its European services with news broadcasts in French, German, and Italian.
1950, the answering machine is invented.
1954, The Tonight Show made its debut on NBC. The host was Steve Allen.
1960, the first planar integrated circuit is successfully fabricated.
1961, the science fiction film The Day the Sky Exploded, also known as Death Comes from Space and Death Comes from Outer Space, directed by Polo Hoosh, is released to U.S. theaters.
1963, the first version of the pilot episode of Doctor Who, An Unearthly Child, is shot at Lime Grove Studios in the evening following weeks of rehearsals.
1968, the Star Trek episode The Enterprise Incident first airs.
1983, Atari dumps a significant portion of its unsold 1982 inventory, about 10 to 20 truckloads of game cartridges and other equipment, in a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And yes, a shit ton of E.T. the Extraterrestrial games went in there. And the documentary about them digging it up is fantastic.
1996, Nintendo releases the racing game Wave Race 64 for Nintendo 64.
Dude, it had volumetric water in it. It was amazing. 1997, NASA loses contact with the Mars Pathfinder space probe at 1023 UTC. It had returned 16,500 images over 3 months, then no more.
1998, this date is frequently marked as the birth date of the Google search engine, though the date has no clear significance.
Also 1998, Phil Hartman's last appearance as Troy McClure on The Simpsons.
2003, the Swedish-designed European Space Agency satellite Smart 1 satellite is launched aboard an Ariane 5 rocket.
2004, Nintendo releases the music game Donkey Konga, which used little bongos, for the GameCube. It was really the first of these silly, silly games that there were.
2005, HarperCollins releases children's edition of Mirror Mask by Neil Gaiman.
Good stuff. The same year, the novel Son of a Witch by Gregory Maguire is released. It is the sequel to the 95 Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West.
2006, Harry N. Abrams, Inc. publishes the fantasy novel The Goblins of Labyrinth, 20th Anniversary Edition by Brian Fraud as a hardcover.
2015, a total lunar eclipse takes place during a supermoon visible across much of the world. Birthdays?
Gwyneth Paltrow's 44, Shakespeare in Love, Talented Mr. Ripley, Royal Tenenbaums, and Pepper in Marvel flicks.
Tamara Taylor is 46, Dr. Sarian on Bones, Wonder Woman in JLA's Gods and Monsters.
Mark Maron is 53, Maron and WTF Podcast.
Jim Shooter is 65, writer, former head of Marvel, editor-in-chief of Valiant Comics.
Dennis Lawson is 69, Wedge Antilles in Star Wars.
Meatloaf is 69 years old, from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, from Americathon, from Black Dog, and a damn fine singer.
Wilford Brimley is 82, China Syndrome, The Thing, The Natural Cocoon, The Firm Quaker Oats spokesman.
It's good for diabetes. No longer with us, born in the state in 1885, Harry Blackstone Sr., a magician whose magic kits are still sold to this day.
1917, Carl Ballantine, creator of comedy magic.
1920, William Conrad, Matt Dillon in the radio version of Gunsmoke, narrated Rocky and Bullwinkle, narrated The Fugitive, was in Cannon and Jake and the Fat Man.
1929, Barbara Murray, Danger Man, Black Orchid runs on Doctor Who.
1933, Greg Morris, Barney in Mission Impossible, Raj's dad on What's Happening in Vegas.
1933, Will Sampson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Poltergeist 2.
1936, Don Cornelius, best known as being on board the Soul Train. You didn't do that with me. Fine. What's on TV then?
ABC, Dancing with the Stars, and a new episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Ghost Rider.
Daisy's going to be battling in the CBS. It's a new NCIS Bull, which again is not about an NCIS New Orleans.
New episode of This Is Us and The Voice.
This Is Us Voice. Over on Fox, it's a new Brooklyn Nine-Nine, New Girl and Scream Queens.
The finale of Mad TV on the CW.
No, Freeform, 10 Things I Hate About You. Good movie.
New Married at First Sight on A&E.
AMC's got a new Halt and Catch Fire.
The Great Barrier Reef on Animal Planet.
Disney XD and new Star Wars Rebels. Oh, God, so good.
Hostage on Cinemax.
Bravo, the tuna is effed on a new Below Deck.
Tombstone on CMT.
Comedy Central, new Tosh.0 and Drunk History.
Deadliest Catch, Dungeon Cove, new episode on Discovery Channel.
FX, Iron Man 3 and a new episode of Atlanta, a damn fine show.
Wild Hogs on Encore.
FXX, The Simpsons, Bart's T-shirt empire, Lisa gets a TV show, and an overdue library book.
Steve Jobs on HBO.
BBC America, the next generation episode of Cupid. Huh, see what they did there?
New Forged Empire on History Channel.
Spike TV for Guys with Ink Master.
Cry Wolf on ID.
Sundance, Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome. They don't need another hero.
Deadly Bandit Patrol on National Geographic Wild.
The Deadly Bandit Patrol. Sci-Fi Channel, it's the premiere of Aftermath.
Rocky Balboa on Showtime.
Schiller Network will be showing the Vincent Natalia Cube, followed by Cube 2, which has nothing to do with Vincent Natalia.
True Lies on Stars.
Turner Classic Movies, Young Frankenstein. That's so good.
The premiere of Andrew Zimmerman's Bucket List on Travel Channel.
True TV, new Adam Ruins Imagination. But tonight, the Lifetime Movie Network, a killer learns two young women have bought his storage locker containing evidence of his crimes. Casper Van Dien and Cassie Thornton star in The Last Bid.
No blasted lettuce today.
You want to do a yup joke there, or what are we going to do there? I don't know.
I don't know.
Either
I don't
way.
Know. I don't know.
We're still working on this solid light thing and why the hell we don't have holodecks. If you, excuse me, if you'd like to wonder why with us or just change the subject entirely, you can do that by dropping a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. It just might work. It's been known to happen in the past.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked. Prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept popping
up. Little history doll popping up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be rough.
How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hi, this is Brad Dourif, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it. You know, of course, what Not Monday means.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you certainly do, and today's a day you can add more to it, like...
Warcraft.
Look, I haven't seen it, but it's a Duncan Jones movie. Duncan Jones makes very interesting movies.
I really want to see it.
I want to see it because of him alone. Central Intelligence, I have no need in watching, is out.
The Shadows.
Oh, the shark movie. Right. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Eh.
Sell.
Howard Lovecraft and the Frozen Kingdom. That title alone must make you want to see it.
Edge of Winter.
Valley of the Dolls and Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. The second one written by Roger Ebert.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Grimm Season 5.
Rain, the complete third season.
Ripper Street, season 4.
The Neon Demon.
But if we're picking up anything today, it's going to be the story of 8 teenagers trapped after hours in a high-tech shopping mall and pursued by 3 murderous security robots out of control. Kelly Maroney, Barbara Crampton, and the immortal Dick Miller star in one of my favorite guilty pleasures of all time, Chopping Mall.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Every movie studio wants a shared universe, especially with all these crazy superheroes that are making all the money. Well, Sony Pictures was going to try to do a Spider-Man one, but now they've teamed up back with Marvel first to deal with it. So basically, Sony now is moving forward with a cinematic universe based on the Valiant comic book title series. You know, that Jim Shooter, Birthday Boy, worked on. Harbinger, Bloodshot. It's going to end up in a Harbinger Wars crossover event film. Harbinger going to be the first one, in which the studio talked about the other week. It's got a guy with massive telekinetic powers. And the dude that wrote Arrival and Lights Out is going to pen the script. Bloodshot follows a mortally wounded soldier resurrected with cutting-edge nanotechnology, so deadlocked but not. And they're shooting for 2017 or 18. Good luck.
We've all seen those little memes or whatever. There are a lot of them like geared towards like vehicles and stuff. Like, winter's coming, take your antifreeze out of the... out of your car and replace it with water so your engine doesn't freeze, and all sorts of other stuff. Another set of these are iPhones. People that told people to charge their iPhones by putting it into a microwave. And the upload that made your phone waterproof.
Right.
There was a newer one that said if you want a headphone jack in your iPhone 7, you could drill one in.
Sure, because that makes perfect sense.
Right, because it was there, they just covered it up.
Yeah, nothing.
You know, they spent the money on putting it in, but they covered it up.
Yeah.
People started doing it. People are doing it.
Yeah.
People are doing these things. Silly people.
You know, the word gullible is not in the dictionary.
No. No, it's not. Oh, like the one that says free, like fill up your headlights full of water in the wintertime.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that's great. Stuff.
Max Brooks, the author of the wonderful, incredible, acclaimed zombie political anthology novel World War Z, is set to pen the first book in a series of Minecraft novels that will be hitting shelves soon. Publishing house Del Rey is behind the books inspired by the legendary game, which is also getting a film adaptation, 2019. We talked about that. Brooks's novel, Minecraft the Island, is described as a cuboid Robinson Crusoe, but madder, a hero stranded in an unfamiliar land with unfamiliar rules, learning to survive against tremendous odds. There's no exact word on when this book is getting released, but Max Brooks, I mean, World War Z is amazing. Minecraft? Sure, why not? I guess after that he can write a book about The Sims.
I don't know. I don't know. Uber's become really, really popular. It's pretty cool. I've had a lot of run-ins lately with taxi companies, and they just don't fit the bill. You know, I hope Uber is doing a better job than taxi cab.
Well, companies. When you don't have to follow the same rules, it's easy to.
They're wanting to do something different. They're wanting to take you places via air with a drone.
What?
Yep, with a drone. They think that they can match the 10-minute time it takes to get from Oakland to San Francisco via bus, via this drone thingy.
That a person that fits can people. Put it?
Yep. One person.
Okay.
Yep.
There's no way in hell I'll ever do that.
No.
Not a chance.
No.
So again, 2016. This time, it's a sad day for horror movie cult aficionados. As the godfather of gore, Mr. Herschel Gordon Lewis has passed away at age 87. Director of exploitation classics like Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, and The Wizard of Gore. He got started in the 60s making little softcore movies, the nudie cuties of the day, and realized he could make a lot more money getting into this horror movie stuff with over-the-top gore effects. Blood Feast being his claim to fame. A caterer obsessed with gathering enough body parts to successfully resurrect an Egyptian goddess. My mom rented this when I was in like ninth grade. She told me how this movie, oh my God, this thing is, it scared me to death when I was a kid, and I watched it and I laughed at it so much. It just, you know, it shows you the difference of generations. But for its day, it's disgusting. It's outstanding. Lewis didn't just direct. He usually wrote the script, would run the camera, sometimes compose the music using pseudonyms so you never really know. He never really left filmmaking thanks to home video, and even came out of the retirement he gave for himself in 2002 to make Blood Feast 2, All You Can Eat. Herschel never quite understood why people were crazy fans of his. Maybe people enjoy fake tongues being ripped out. Interesting note, though, he said that his favorite movie of his was 2000 Maniacs and not the not Blood Feast, the way that everybody would do it. Either way, sir, I hope you're creeping out and making people squeamish somewhere in the universe because you're damned good at it. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 1963.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Just go pick up the app and go talk about us to people and stuff and make us famous and really cool people that are rich and can throw lavish parties that you will absolutely be invited to because you are incredibly cool. Drop us a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com and we will see you when we do.
Good night, everybody. That was great! A lot of fun. When do I get my check?
I'm going.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
Good night, suckers!
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, Ooh! And Man vs. Nature, The Road to Victory. In all the animal kingdom, no mother is more devoted than the blue jay. Valuing her eggs above even her own life, the mother bird bravely fights off such fearsome predators as the badger and the mongoose. Of course, one thing Mother Blue Jay can't defend against is a set of steel tongs. Eggs, precious eggs. If they're to survive, they require the gentle warmth and tender love that only a mother can provide. Or better yet, a 75-watt bulb. Oh, hello. In a few days, our eggs will hatch into nestlings like these over here.
They look awfully hungry, Mr. McClure.
They sure are, Billy. In nature, their mother would regurgitate food for them to eat.
That's gross.
It sure is, Billy. It sure is.